Jesus. This is a whole leadership talk, okay, that I can do for about 2 hours. But because you're so smart, I'm going to do it in 1 minute.
Huh? There you go. So I listened to all of the other podcasts from Jasper, and I am that girlfriend. I am the one with the daddy issues and the, literally everything that he said. But, you know, his perspective is very just his perspective. He can't see things from anyone else's point of view but his. I guess that's what makes me a narcissist. I guess that's what makes me all of those sociopath, anything else that he said about me. But here's the facts. I loved him. Absolutely fucking loved him. But I can't be everything that he needed me to be.
Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? This is Jasper. Welcome to another episode of Where the Sidewalk Ends. Because, you know, that's where the ocean begins, right? Or the beach, or, you know, all this rigmarole that we seem to entertain on a daily basis. So, yeah, kiss and make up. Maybe that's what I should call this one. well, one good thing came out of it is we actually got a chance to talk, and I think that maybe going forward we might actually try to record our conversations and you know, do a little you know, just thinking about if we communicate with an audience, maybe we'll be kinder to each other. Yeah, anyway, she had recorded her version of the story, and apparently it didn't record all of it, and she doesn't know that yet because she's at work right now, but I'm sure that might be a little disappointing. But at the same time, you know, what's holding you back from your dreams? What's holding you back from going out and achieving whatever it is that you ever wanted to achieve, and like being not quite like G.I. Joe where you be all you can be, but but yeah, I mean, what's your, living up to your full potential? Like, you know, and some people, you know, some, there's all kinds of different fears out there. Some people have a fear of failure, and that's understandable. Did you know that there's a fear of success? Some people are actually scared of success. And, you know, I think for many, many years, that was a big thing for me. I was scared of success, because once you become successful, once you start doing all those things right and adulting and being responsible for things on a regular basis, you all of a sudden, right, all of a sudden now you have to show up every day. You have to get up every day and you have to show up and you have to be accountable and you have to do all those things that are very necessary, you know, to keep, you know, keep the stride going. But it's also one of them situations where you will blah, because that's what weed does to you, ladies and gentlemen. Blah. Delayed reaction. Anyway, go daddy and Geico are next to each other on my desk folders. Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny. So, Kaiser say so, and Epson, and Epson Geico. Oh man, maybe I should just not record this one, but it sounds like it might be kind of fun. Anyway, I have lots of things to talk about. But you know, when you think about what's holding you back, you know, do you realize you don't have to have talent or skills to get to where you want to be in life? You don't. You really don't. I mean, you have to have grind. You have to have belief. This is a process. You know, when you want to be successful, it's a process, and it's one of those things where you, like I said, you got to show up every day. You got to be a part of that process. And that's the other thing too. Like, so there's a lot of things we don't like doing when we're trying to get to where we want to go in life, but those things that we don't like doing are part of the process. And you've got to learn to embrace and enjoy that process as much as you can. I remember in seventh grade geography, Mr. Fisher, and you know, it was that time where they were doing going around and setting up the election thing where, you know, people could run for, you know, class president or vice president or secretary or treasurer. And you know, he's talking about, you know, maybe some of you in this audience, maybe, or, you know, like some of you kids, you know, maybe you've never thought about doing it. But if it's crossing your mind at all, if you have any interest at all, please sign up and see what happens. You know, it might change your life. And interestingly enough, I'm like, yeah, maybe I can. And I did. I actually ran for vice president and I won. And that was even cooler. And I was the only one with a standing ovation. And oh, geez. But, you know, I didn't have the talent. I didn't know what it would take. I didn't have any skills. You know, we were learning those things and we were learning to develop them. I remember we had during that summer, you know, we had a little field trip. It was a special one for the student body and a guidance counselor and whatnot. And we went to, I already forgot. I had it in my head a minute ago, but we went to a lake retreat, Green Lake, I believe it was now, in Wisconsin. And, you know, it was a cool time. It really was. And, then, believe it or not, you know, everything was all good and eighth grade rolled up. And so I went from seventh to eighth and then August 1st, 1989, I get my name called to the office. It was a Friday and it was the end of the day and I didn't know what was going on. And, well, needless to say, you know, they actually found marijuana in a locker in the school, and it just so happened to be in a bag, and that bag just happened to be in my locker. And I had the guidance counselor, I walk into the, you know, what's going on, and they're like, "Do you recognize that bag, sir?" I'm like, "No." He's like, "You sure? Take a good look at it." I'm like, "Oh yeah, that's mine." He's like, "Do you have any idea what might have been in there?" I'm like, "A change of clothes for going to my friend's house tonight after the football game." Well, and see, and basically what it was is, you know, I found it, I stole it, I did whatever I did with it, however I got it, you know, and I was showing my other friend on the bus, and then the kid in front, the front seat ahead of us, turned around and saw it, and then my buddy Chris is like, "Turn around, Donnie, before I punch you." And so he whipped it around, but somehow, like, you know, isn't that interesting, though, how people grow up differently with different beliefs? And he must have been growing up where, you know, part of that DARE program where how dangerous it is and how a person should, like, you know, be very wary of, you know, that kind of, like it's hardcore and people are going to, you know, croak, you know, try it once and you're dead, you know, like Bill Clinton, he didn't inhale. So, I mean, neither did I. And I mean, so we're all good there. Right. but you know, my immediate family, like that wasn't a thing. Like, I mean, it's not like anybody was out running around doing it in front of me, but like it wasn't, you know, they didn't share the same concerns as Donnie's family did. And, you know, and we all grow up being told different things and then come to find out years later, now it's like legal in half the states and most people are okay with it. And, you know, some of y'all still have an issue with it. And you know, I guess at the end of the day, like, so even when I have an issue, like if I get all bent out of shape, you know, if my girlfriend's like, you know, doing things that are, you know, rocking the boat. But really at the end of the day, it is on me. It's my responsibility to control my emotions and it's my responsibility to you know, find the beliefs that support my system, for my true north, for my own compass. And you know, it's easier said than done. And I've done extremely well with it. You know, I've went, you know, years without letting anybody get to me or bother me, or, you know, and I would overcome all this stuff. And I think, you know, there comes a point when you've picked up enough, you know, different, just so many things happen, and all those incidences and things that you're doing out there in the world, they start to stack up, and they start to get heavy, and it's like almost like you know each one is a rock on your trail, your path in life, and each you know situation that you've been through, you know, carries with it a different emotion, and each one of those emotions has a different weight to it, and you're looking at it and you're holding it in your hand. This is a nice emotion, or I don't like this emotion, but I can't let go of it, and we throw it in our backpack, and we keep walking along, and oh hey, there's another emotion. Look at this rock. I hate this rock, but I'm gonna hold on to it because I hate it so much, and this rock here, it makes me really really, you know, jealous, but you know, I can't let it go. I'm just gonna hold on to it. I mean, I'd throw it to you, but you know, I'll just hold on to it right now, because you know, what is it that makes us feel so magnetically attracted to some of these devious and negative thoughts that form out of nowhere? And how is it they like spend your whole life trying to be positive, and that's all we talk about? We know, you know, how important it is to be positive, and how is it that sometimes we slip and fall, and sometimes we can't, you know, see past certain situations, but on one particular day, but then, you know, a few hours later, or, you know, go to sleep and wake up the next day, and it's a whole different situation. It could be worse, but it could be better too. And how is it that, you know, when I'm like, I've noticed, it's almost that when people around me are positive, then like all of a sudden I get a chance to slack or something, and I choose not to be as positive as I should be. And that it's kind of odd, but it's not odd. I think when we think of the laws of polarity and the laws of correspondence, and I think that whatever we're thinking about and whatever we're talking about, like I'm used to like somebody comes to me negative, and I'm gonna do everything I can to try to lift them up and make, you know, give them a positive outlook on things, because I don't want to see people suffering. I want to take their pain and suffering away, so I say something positive to them. And at the same time, we got, you know, if everybody's positive, then I don't need to be positive. So I don't necessarily know that I'm like not consciously doing this, but I'm, you know, this is that mindful thing where you start to look at, you know, you do some self-reflection, or a lot of self-reflection, and you try to just, you know, why do I get attached to certain emotions that do not serve me? Why do I decide to cling to things that I have no control over? Why do I try to control people? Why do I try to, you know, have power and dominion over everybody? You know, I know, I mean, I'm male, and you know, there's definitely a testosterone factor in that, and there's, you know, just kind of the raw, right? We're all, you get just, it's you know, there's no denying, I have, you know, I'm all man, you know, like there's no, I mean, or boy, or whatever you want to call me, I don't really care, but it's all the same. I'm male as male can be, but it's interesting too. I can look at somebody who looks just like me, and they don't have that same thing going on. And I guess what I'm saying is, you know, judging in situations and people is definitely a dangerous thing to do, and something I just did. And this is where I practice self-humiliation. I'm not afraid of it, though. I'm not afraid of humility anymore. I don't really give a shit, because this is for me. This is for my family. This is for, you know, the whole world to realize that, you know, no matter who we think we are, where we think we're going in life, what we think we got, like, everything could be gone in a flash. And at some point, that flash will come. I mean, it's going to come for all of us. Nobody gets out of this alive, right? Every day, it's do or die. One thing you leave behind, it's how did you love? And thank God, my girlfriend is such a sweetheart. So she did come over. She did try to make her announcement of, you know, call me out on some things. But it's funny because it didn't record the whole thing, and I don't know why. But it's like, yeah. I'll just stay away from that. That sounds kind of arrogant. But no, but I mean, it's, I don't know. And how is it that one day, like, you know, these, the planets, so the astrology, numerology, you know, the degrees to which each planet is with one another in the orbit of in the sky, there's, it's really, the solar system is us. We are that solar system. We are part of the solar system. The solar system is a part of us. It is just as much God and consciousness in that as there is in us and everything you're looking at right now. And have you ever thought about it before? Like, if you're looking at something, are you looking at your phone and or looking at a pen or a pencil, or, you know, your computer or your TV or your couch or the carpet? You look at all that stuff and you're like, hey, that's real, right? You think that's real. And so to the average person, it is. But did you know, to a magician, nothing is real. And what makes a magician different than the average person? Well, a magician understands polarity and correspondence. But does that mean that the magician is never going to slip, never going to screw up? You know, that's why I'm trying to tell you, like, you don't have to have talent and skills. You have to have grind. You have to believe in the process. It is such an important thing to keep in mind, because, you know, we need a system in place, right? And the system supports the process. Wouldn't you agree for a system in place? So, like, making a schedule, or, you know, even if you only get a third of the things done on there, or just, you know, a couple items each day, no matter how big your to-do list is. Mine continues to grow. I mean, I'm pages and pages and pages and pages deep on to-do list. Like, how could you ever be truly bored? Like, really? I mean, there's no end to all the things that need to be done. When you die, there will be a to-do list. I'm quite positive of that. You know, a person has to be disciplined, and, you know, and in control of their own destiny. You know, I am in control of my own destiny, and I realize that every time I, you know, about screw something up or whatever. At the same time, you know, I still, like, it's really interesting. So I believe, and I'm thankful that, when people can have the ability to still see past certain things, and with that unconditional love, to at some point or another, where is it that we throw in that white towel and decide to cave and then just kind of like try to forget. I mean, the thing is when you do get into all those situations, we just went through here with our, you know, disagreements, but, you know, we're fighting or whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's truly not fighting. It's just very gut-wrenching in because of the emotions are so extreme. And then I think about, so pay attention to the planets, though. And the thing is like, there's nothing wrong with paying attention to it. It is a good indication. But here's the even more important part that I think about when it comes to these horoscopes. So, like she has pointed out to me, like, you like read them, and then they're like gospel to you. And it's like, yeah, that's true. Like, and that's where I get stuck on certain things. And the thing is sometimes those horoscopes will tell you things that you might not have want to hear, especially if you get a wild card in your particular sign that day. And you know, that's Uranus, right? Because it's a wild card. It's an unpredictable energy, and it brings a lot of you know, crazy, different, you know, unexpected twists and turns to the plot of the whole thing. And that's why when certain crazy things happen on a day, certain day, or everybody gets to check out at the same time, or all the phones ring at the same time, there's a synchronicity to the vibrational frequency that we're all carrying. And your vibe attracts your tribe. And whatever you're vibrating at, you'll find others that are vibrating just like that. Now, you will notice people who are maybe not vibrating at as high of a level as you may be, or vice versa. They could be, you know, at a much higher level than you are. But the key for all this is to hold your ground. When you're flying high on your disc and you're in complete alignment, you don't want to, like, necessarily just stop.
You don't want to necessarily just stop, because if you stop, right, if you stop, then because you lose all your momentum. You know, once you realize that we're here to live a life of service, you know, the purpose of this life is to live a life of service to other people. And the Me Too movement, there's no way human beings like anybody with a common sense would have generated such a, it's quite the Q-bert of society. It doesn't really belong, the Me Too movement. It sounds great. It's easily sold as a new idea, a new concept that, you know, because everybody was being, you know, I guess repressed. And then when people started to come out of that, they started to feel better. But the reality of it is that everyone shouldn't necessarily be, you know, experiencing the exact same things there. And I say that because I'm just going to switch subjects on you real quick here. Because the work is never done, ever. I mean, the ones that we love and the ones that we pray for, and gives me balance on this path. And I know that there's no need to ask for more. This life has got me by the heart. And I'm telling you, you better take time to know your heart. I don't necessarily have a bunch of useless knowledge. I do have a bunch of wisdom. I had my palm read recently, and I had no idea that it was like, so there's different percentages and stuff, and of like where your health is, your career, your you know, love life, your just a regular day to day. Yeah, there's a bunch of different breakdowns on that, but my wisdom. So they gave you different percentages. I think my love was like at 70 or 80, 75 or some, and then like it was like 80. That's what it was. And my career was at like 60, and you know, and health was at like 70. That's what it was. But my wisdom, guess what my wisdom was at? 100%. 100%. And I looked at that and I was like, well, duh. Why though? Why? Why does one person carry more wisdom than another? And really, because we keep coming back. You believe it or not, you might not come back with the same name. You might not even come back to the same type of, you know, your ethnicity may not apply. But you will find the people who have nurtured you the previous lifetime and vice versa. Like, lifetime after lifetime, we keep continuing to nurture each other and take care of each other. And that's why some people seem so familiar, why some things are just meant to be. And the thing that bothers you the most in life is your project. That's your purpose. That's why you're here. The things that really challenge your soul, that's what you got to work on. And what challenges my soul is seeing, is it's hard for me to believe that somebody, such a beautiful soul, really is all about what she says she's all about. It's really hard for me to digest that. It's really hard for me to accept that. I want to believe in love, but she told me tonight, she says, but you don't believe in love. And it's taken a little while to process that, because on one hand, I would have argued, but on the other hand, she very well may be right, as women typically are in a lot of cases. That's the thing about this. Like, no matter how, you know, how much I can try to identify all the unusual or, you know, behavior patterns that I don't necessarily support or want, you know, as a part of anything to do with me, because it doesn't work within my boundaries. But I need to remember, though, that how unique and individual everybody is. And she made a comment to me about, well, would you think like this or be like this about your daughter? And she's like, of course you wouldn't. And it's like, so why does she get different treatment? You know, and it's like, I think because this is the part where, this is why I'm asking everybody to start making better decisions. I'm not saying I've made all good decisions all my life, but this is the part where if somebody doesn't make that first step and somebody doesn't start to try to do something to improve the lives of others, if somebody doesn't recognize the fact that they need to become the person that they're searching for, like, far too many people are looking for the right person instead of trying to be the right person. And it's really interesting because in her mind, I am the right person. In my mind, I am the right person. And she is the right person. But my mind keeps telling me it's not. My heart knows it is. And I want people out there listening to this to really, really take this in for a minute. Because the mind and the heart will conflict with each other. But the mind is more for a place to store memories, to help you navigate along your path. Your heart will never lie to you. Your heart will always have your best interest in mind. And your heart will lead you in places that you may never want to leave. But if you listen to your head, like I have been doing, you may force that out of your life, whether you like it or not. And at this point, you know, there may be enough damage done. We're talking again, but, you know, I got to really take this into a serious account that how do I know that I haven't caused too much damage? And how lucky I am to even be in this position to be able to have somebody who does have that unconditional love and who can be forgiving and who can. It's just, but during that time, though, and at the same time, it's one of the two things. So everything, you know, I'm just totally off my fucking rocker. That's one. Or, you know, or she's not being honest about anything. And the craziest thing, is for once, maybe I should believe somebody. It is hard to believe. It's hard to believe in other people. It's hard to give them the credit or the, you know, anything that would, because so many people let us down. So that's what I was trying to say. Quit letting people down. You know, there's like the, you know, if you have a commitment to something or someone, follow through, make it happen. Make it happen. If you're supposed to be at work in the morning, be at work in the morning. If it's 7 o'clock, be there at 7. Be there at 6:30, for God's sakes. But don't be there at 7:30. Don't be there at 7:01. Stay home then, until you get your shit together. It's not fair. It's not fair to other people. I'm not saying I didn't do that to people all the time. I was like, in my mind, I was so arrogant when I was younger. I'd be like, you know, you're just lucky I showed up at all. You want me to work or not? All cocky and it's not. You're not necessarily wrong when you're saying those things, but it's kind of punitive to the receiver of the information. And it's very, it's just, you know, let's all be learn. You know, at the end of the day, is it better to be kind or is it better to be right? You know, we all know the answer to that. It's better to be kind. Kind of right, anyway. Anyway, I think I'm going to wrap this one up here. There's so much more we could have spun off on, but it's getting to be a lot of minutes and a lot of bit later, and I just need to chill out for a little bit. So I think you got about a half hour here, Enjoy the show. Thank you for joining us. This is Jasper with Where the Sidewalk Ends. You know, man.